Welcome to a brand new edition of Yawns. I'm Omar Moore. Watford are backsliding. That definitely has been the case. One win in their last eight championship games, or maybe nine at this point, as Watford slumped to defeat at home against Huddersfield, who were bottom four at the start of play. Plus, Val Ishmael. And will he make it through the end of this season? Hint, he will. And the fans and discontent. I'll be talking about that as well on this brand new edition of Yawns. Good day to you, Watford supporter, and welcome to this brand new edition of the Yawns Watford FC podcast. Omar Moore here with you, and thank you very much for being here as we get ready for what this weekend will be another round of action in the Championship. Watford will be at the Den to take on Millwall, that's in South London, this coming weekend. But I want to talk about what we went through last weekend against Huddersfield. Yes, the Watford men's first team against the Huddersfield side that hadn't won too many away matches and certainly hadn't won any to the best of my recollection with having been down in the game from a losing position to win the game. I don't think that's happened to Huddersfield all season away from home, but it certainly did happen this past weekend at the Vic. And what is obviously clear now for Watford and for the fans is that there has not been any kind of win in the Championship for Watford at the Vic since November. And yes, it has been that long now. It's been a long, long, long time. Watford have struggled at home, and that's going to be the focus of most of this edition of the podcast, because look, I think that Watford look at the Vic, these Watford men's first team players look at the Vic like it's Dante's ninth circle of hell, you know, the Dante's Inferno effect. I don't think that Watford are very comfortable playing at home, and it's not just this season, it's been several seasons over the years, although of course there have been one or two seasons within that time where Watford, I thought, not only I thought, they did play very well. I mean, the season that they got promoted, obviously, from the Championship, they had only lost, I think, two games at home, maybe two or three games at home that entire season. That was under Sisko. And also before that, in that same season, Vladimir Ivic, and Sisko, who took them the rest of the way from Boxing Day onwards, and had that incredible record where I think they lost just one home game under Sisko, maybe once. One home game, that was against Queen's Park Rangers in a game that Sisko admitted that he didn't prepare the team properly for. So, you know, there's always an exception in the home form where Watford had been outstanding. But for the vast majority of a number of these seasons, Watford have not played well at home. And it was certainly true last season under the combined tutelage of three different managers. Plus, it was certainly true the season before that under the combined tutelage of three different managers. And it's been true, I think, largely this season as well. Val Ishmael is the manager, and I'll talk about Val Ishmael a little bit later on. But I think that what we have to talk about is the way that Watford came out in this game did not bring very much at all to the table. A very, very poor performance against Huddersfield, especially in the first half, where I think Watford's intensity was non-existent. The vast majority of the team didn't have any clues about what to do on the pitch. You could tell that there was not a commitment to team football, and certainly they looked very lost out there. The midfield was non-existent for the first half, which explained why Val took off both Kone and Kayembe, who I thought were both very poor. Kayembe was really bad in this game as well. Both of them, especially Kayembe, but both of them were ineffective. And then, of course, the substitutes came on and they were only marginally better. They spent that. And again, Watford just did not play well the first half. Emmanuel Dennis was rather isolated for the most part. Long balls being played to him in the air were easily vacuumed up by the 6'5" defender that Huddersfield put on Dennis. And it was a field day when you really need to put the ball to feet for Dennis. And the reason why I think Watford resorted to the long ball against this Huddersfield side with Emmanuel Dennis in their front line is because the midfield was ineffective. The midfield couldn't string together any passes that went beyond 10 or 15 yards. So there was no fluency in the midfield. There was no cohesion in the midfield. And when you get that midfield running right, you then tend to be able to move the ball a little bit quicker, or at least try to get ball to feet when you're coming to a striker like Emmanuel Dennis, who's not a prototypical striker, someone who likes the ball to feet, generally speaking. Not to say that he hasn't scored aerially before, because he has for Watford, but generally speaking, Emmanuel Dennis is one of those kinds of players who runs with ball to feet and beats the last defender and is able to put together a bit of technical quality in the box or just outside it. That's what Emmanuel Dennis is capable of. He's not one of those strikers who's going to be jumping up in the air to try to get leverage against a 6'5" defender. He's not as tall as that, and that's not his game. His game is much more on the ground, ball to feet. Now, Watford just did not get a lot going in the first half, and Huddersfield, meanwhile, weren't that much better in the first half, but they played, whenever they went forward, they looked more likely to score. They looked a bit more adventurous in their play than Watford did. They had a bit more imagination to their play than Watford did. They had a bit more energy to their play than Watford did. They moved the ball quicker than Watford did. And that was really what the first half was. And at the break, it was a 0-0 scoreline. It had been, I think, the second or maybe third game in a row where Watford had, or third of the last four, where Watford had gone into halftime without conceding. Now, they've done that a little bit better defensively, although the defense was not the story of this game. I thought it was the midfield and just the overall poor play of the team at large. But Watford, if you've noticed the last few games, they have made it to halftime for the most part in a number of the games, perhaps with the exception of the Norwich game. They've made it to halftime at 0-0 without conceding. It's the second half where things go wrong for Watford. And yet that was heavily betrayed, because within the first 10 minutes of the second half, Watford would take the lead at the Vic. It was a goal from Emmanuel Dennis, well taken, well executed. Emmanuel Dennis making his start, his first start back for Watford since, of course, his return to Watford. And I thought that he played fairly well in this game, and he had some adventure and bite to him, especially in the second half. Espria passing the ball to him, getting the assist on the goal that gave Watford the lead. And so from that point, 55 minutes on the clock, 10 minutes into the second half, again, a very important time for Watford in these games, the first 10 minutes of the second half, they paid dividends and they made off well in that first 10 minutes by scoring, but they did not continue to kick on from there. And I thought that the fact that Watford scored that first goal and didn't add to it was a real key. It seemed to me, and so often it has, I think, to a lot of people, that Watford at 1-0 up decided to play not to lose. And that's not how you can survive in the Championship or any league, playing football, particularly in England, with that kind of mentality, that negative mentality that says we're going to just hold on to what we have, especially when you're at home 55 minutes into a game you've just scored, and your whole body language, even though Watford did push forward at times after they scored that goal against Huddersfield, your whole body language says let's just play it safe the rest of the way. You can't do that with 40 minutes left on the clock after you've scored that goal in the 55th minute of the game. And so Watford had to continue to push on. And while they did have some moments and some forays, they didn't push on appreciably enough. And then with all the energy that they expended after taking the 1-0 lead, it was Huddersfield that looked the more dangerous. And it was Huddersfield that seemed to have more belief and confidence despite being down 1-0. And it was Watford who, despite being up 1-0, who seemed to have the desperation and the lack of belief in themselves. And that permeated in the play throughout the rest of the half and the rest of the game ultimately, and allowed for Huddersfield to gain some confidence and momentum. There were several warning signs that Huddersfield started to put forth. And then lo and behold, in the space of roughly 10 minutes, Watford were down 2-1. And really, I thought that that was the beginning of the end, and it certainly proved to be, as far as Watford was concerned in the match, as Huddersfield held on to win it 2-1. Watford's energy levels started to dip. I thought the body language showed you that they were not committed to trying to fight back in this game and do the things that teams at home should do. And Watford deserved to lose the game. Huddersfield were worthy winners. Huddersfield, who again had been very poor away from home all season, had not won away from home from a losing position, came into Vicarage Road last Saturday and deservedly got 3 points. I don't think there's any question about that. Watford were very, very poor in the game. It's one of the poorest games they've played this season, especially at Vicarage Road. And there is no excuse for this now to lose to a team that has been fighting against relegation for the better part of the entire season. Huddersfield came into this game 4 from bottom and had changed their manager 2 previous times this season, and yet they came out of the Vic with a 2-1 victory, which tells you a lot about Watford as well. It tells you that Watford, these men's first team players, I don't know if they can really push on any more than what they're doing now. And this was a game that had Kayembe starting, Kone starting. Granted, Watford's squad has been thin all season long, and even before that, if you really want to make the case. And Emmanuel Dennis certainly gave a spark to the team. He had to come off, by the way, with an injury, groin issue, according to the manager. And then Rajovic came on. But Rajovic, to me, despite making some runs, didn't get any traction in the game at all, and continued to get bossed off the ball a lot of the times in the game, and continued not to put himself about in the way that a 6'4" striker should be doing. And so Watford, I thought, lost some momentum. I thought that the defending, while not great, there were a couple of people I thought who did, I think, play decently enough. Matty Pollock, I thought, was decent in the game. But really, none of these Watford players distinguished themselves. Perhaps the only players with any imagination at all on that pitch were Georgie, were Emmanuel Dennis, and were Aspria. And Aspria and Dennis combined for the Dennis goal. So really, that was the way that this football match unfolded. And obviously the fans, the Watford faithful, were not happy with this performance, and they let the team know about it. They let the Golden Boys know about it in no uncertain terms. And that's the way it should be. And so at halftime, and particularly at full time, boos rained down on this football team from the rookery, from various parts of the ground. It was not a good atmosphere. And the reason why it wasn't a good atmosphere is because the Golden Boys played poorly and did not seem to have the fight or be inclined to want to have the fight to try to get 3 points in this game. What has bedeviled, and it's not an easy word to say, what has bedeviled this team in recent weeks and throughout the season at the Vic has been the poor starts. The poor starts at home have not been helpful. And I think Watford not engineering a fast start in this game, failing to score early in the first half, failing to put the requisite pressure on Huddersfield, moving the ball as slowly as they did, going from east to west instead of from north to south, or from south to north, I should say. Those things really did hurt Watford. And it set the tone for the second half of the game, despite the Watford score, scoring that early goal in the second half. And Huddersfield were patient. Huddersfield stayed disciplined and true to what they wanted to do. And although they didn't always execute it, they looked much more clinical going forward, at least much more purposeful going forward, and certainly looked as if they had a bit about them. And for their part, they played well enough to get the job done and deserve to win. I think their fans will be very happy with the kind of performance that they put in the game, particularly in the second half when they kept believing in themselves. What you've got now here, fellow Watford supporter, is a Watford men's first team that's very low on confidence, but also they have displayed an attitude that is troubling in recent weeks. We've seen this happen with what happened the other day, and I'll get to it in a few moments' time, with Kone storming off the pitch when he was substituted in the game against Huddersfield. You know, this is something that is a problem for Watford, and Kone is a young player, so he's going to take this personally. And he's, what, 21, 22 years old? Kone, 20, 21. He's a young player. He's going to take these things a bit more personally, I think, than the veterans will. But there's no excuse. You've got to be a bit better than that. There have been some reports from Andrew French of the Watford Observer around this as well, in terms of Kone storming off, really not storming off, but just in terms of taking a shortcut through the media suite. And that's, I mean, that's not really a good thing. And you don't normally see that happen in these games, especially the journalists don't expect to see a player just kind of walk through the media suite and leave the ground that way. And I think that shows you that there's obviously some unhappiness that Kone has with being subbed off. And yet the thing is that all you saw in the last week or two was Kone making videos. And this is the thing that's also very interesting to me. Kone couldn't have made more heartfelt pleas for everyone to be together, to be, you know, backing the team, expressing how thankful he was that fans supported the team and that gave their voice home and away. And he made these really heartfelt videos around that just only in the last week or two. And now you've got Kone storming off down the tunnel. And not even going back on the bench, just going straight down the tunnel. I think Kayembe may have done the same thing. And then just leaving the ground, going through the media suite. So, you know, that's an issue. That's an issue that needs to be dealt with. I'm not trying to blow this up out of proportion. But I am saying that it's an issue for team cohesion. And obviously, maybe it's just one instance of a player being upset at being subbed off so early. When you get subbed off in the 27th minute of a game, it is a humiliating thing. But it also means you haven't done your job, or it means that you're injured. And Kone was not carrying any kind of injury. So it meant that he hadn't done his job. And if you'd watched the match last Saturday, you too would have observed that Kone just did not get the job done. He was very poor. As was Ken Sema, as was Ido Kayembe, as were a number of players. I did not think that Jamal Lewis was very impressive either. And repeatedly now, I think that Jamal Lewis has become a bit of a busted flush. And I was a big fan of his earlier in the season. I thought he had been playing pretty well. And there were Watford fans back then telling me, no, not impressed with Jamal Lewis. Not impressed at all. Don't think he really does very much. And I was arguing him down. I'm saying, no, I think he works really hard for the team. I think he's done some very useful things. He has a little bit of stature. But now, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and certainly now, look, he's been injured. He had been injured for about 3 weeks himself. But I think since he's come back from that injury, he has not produced much of anything. And I don't know if that's because he's still got some injury issues or if the injury has just knocked him for six, because I don't think that Jamal Lewis is half the player that he was earlier in the season. And that means that there are some Watford fans who are only now confirming their own doubts about Lewis from months ago when they were telling me that Jamal Lewis really is a busted flush, is really, you know, not somebody who you can count on. And yet I thought his performances were a lot better earlier in the season. But clearly now, these last 3 or 4 games, and maybe with one or two exceptions, but the last 4 or 5 games perhaps, Jamal Lewis has really dropped off. And I don't know why. I want to talk next about Val Ismail and fan discontent. That's next on this brand new edition of Yawns.
But as I say, look, it was our 7th home game now, 21 points. We took only two points. And this is a gap we are missing. And again, it's just the confirmation this season. It seems to be very tough home. We need to analyze with the player. But regardless, the result is about the performance. It's always about the performance, because the performance gives you the feeling. And today it was really far away from what we expected from our player.
That was Watford FC men's first team head coach Val Ismail after the 2-1 home defeat to Huddersfield on Saturday at the Vic. And yeah, the performances aren't good enough. And the performances at this point have to be better than they've been at the Vic. And that is the issue for Watford. The issue also for Watford, amongst some of the fans, at least some of the Watford faithful, is that Val Ismail has not been committed to changing appreciably enough his formations to begin these football matches. There have been lots of Watford fans who have advocated for starting two up top in these matches to build a partnership, to build a relationship, a strike partnership between Rajovic and Bayo, or between Rajovic and Emmanuel Dennis, or between Emmanuel Dennis and Bayo. However you want to put that, that is what a number of people in the Watford fan base have been concerned about. And look, I've talked about this as well. I had Watford fans say to me, some of them, that they would like to see two up top to start these games. Val Ismail so far this season has not done that. And there are times during the course of a game where he will do that. But he doesn't start his games like that. And I do think that when you do have this poor run of form at the Vic, as you heard the gaffer say, from 21 possible points in these last seven home games, they've only come away with two. That was how they were playing for much of this season and last away from home. Very, very poorly away from home. In fact, you can go back two or three seasons of this. Very poor away from home. 2 points from 21 points in total through seven games, the last seven. That would be cause for alarm away from home, but it should be even more of an alarm bell ringing for you when that is your form at your home ground. And so Watford have to look, this Watford men's first team now, have to look at Vicarage Road and ask, why is it that these players play so poorly on their home pitch, the place that you're supposed to be more comfortable in than they are when they go away from home? Why is it that Watford actually have more away wins this season than they do home wins when it comes to championship football? Why is it that Watford players do not push on at home in a lot of these games when they've scored? Why is it that Watford starts so poorly in a lot of these home matches? And when you consider the fact that the first home match of this season in the championship was that game against Queen's Park Rangers, where it only took Watford 33 seconds to score through TDB. Why is it now that Watford can't score anymore in the first 5 or 6 minutes of these games at home? It's a very, very strange thing. And Val Ismail is obviously concerned about the home form. But there are people who are concerned about Val Ismail. Not necessarily because they, in some cases, care about whether he is going to hold on to his job. But really, they're concerned about what he's doing. I've had Watford fans tell me that they think he should leave the club. Now, I don't join in with that at all. I don't agree with that at all. I disagree. I don't think that Val Ismail should be sacked at all. I think what needs to happen here is two things. One, I think Val needs to be more flexible. And two, there needs to be a serious push this summer to round out this squad and fortify it. There's definitely been progress this season, and Val Ismail has been a major part of the reason why. I don't think that to sack Val Ismail at this point, I don't think that's going to be smart for you. And really, if you do sack him now or sack him during the course of this season, what you've essentially said to these players and what you've said to the fans is that you're prepared to go back to the starting blocks and start all over again. And I think it's essential to have some continuity in that manager's position. You have to remember that this men's first team is still rebuilding. It's been in a rebuild, I think, for at least four seasons now, certainly since 2019. At the end of that year, then Watford, of course, in 2019, at the end of that 2018-19 season when Watford ended up going to the FA Cup final And remember, they finished 11th that season. That's when the rebuilding began, after that season ended, after that walloping in at Wembley, the Wembley wallop that City gave us in that cup final, which I was attending, I was present for. That's where the rebuild began, in earnest. But in the last couple of seasons, you're beginning to really see the manifestations of this clear need to rebuild. I think the problem is that the front office has not done nearly enough to try to make over this team. Now, they've done some things that have been decent, and there are other things that need to be done that they've not done. And I do hope and expect that this summer will be a vehicle for that to happen. That is what I am expecting, that this summer will provide that impetus to bring along players who can push this team to the next portion of the championship table. Because I believe that what you presently have at the Vic in this Watford men's first team cannot take you any further than they have. And this is really as far as this group of players can take Watford this season, which is mid-table. As of the time I'm recording this, Watford sit in 11th place. They've won 11 games, drawn 11 games, lost 12 games, and have a total of 44 points. They've played 34 games, which means they have 12 games remaining. And they, at the moment, do not look like they're going to win too many more games this season. With the remaining 12, I'd probably back them for about 3 more wins, if that, maybe 4 max, out of the remaining 12 games. And I would also say that they'll probably end up winning one of their remaining games at home. I do think they will win another home game this season. Probably the very last home game they play, but I do think that they will win one more home game this campaign in the championship. But what I think you've got now is a team that still hasn't shown you its full potential, still has not shown you really what it can do. A team, even when it was going through that glorious run of games where they'd lost just 3 games in something like 18 or 19, still didn't play very well in a lot of those games, and also still hadn't won at home in a lot of those games. So you got to factor in that this team, even with all the things that it did in that really good run that took them to where they are now, just above where they are now, 7th place at one point, I don't think that this particular team, as it is presently constituted, is going to take you much higher than where you are. So that means a couple of things. One, perhaps you have to shift what your expectations are if you are the front office. Or two, you have to fortify this squad with other players. The summer transfer window is going to be an opportunity for Watford Football Club to do that. Now the question is, do you want a change in manager? I hate to even ask that question, because I think to change the manager, as I said earlier, would be an acknowledgement of Val Ishmael needs to go, obviously, from that standpoint. That's what the board would be saying with that move if they did it. And they'd also be saying, look, we need to start all over again. And I don't think that that is the wise choice at this point. I do think that Watford need to stick with this manager through thick and through thin. We have been saying this for a number of years now. Stop chopping and changing these managers. That does not help us anymore. Now, it used to help us earlier in the Gino Pozzo era, but I don't think it's happening now. I think Val has made a difference. I think he has. He's obviously got this team out of the doldrums that it was in. And I think that now it just needs to continue to be cohesive, because Watford FC at home, this men's first team, has lacked a lot of cohesion this season in a number of places. And there's only sporadic energy, movement, and fight I don't think a lot of this is Val's fault. It's not Val's fault when the players aren't moving the ball quickly enough. It's not Val's fault when the players are going from east to west. It's not Val's fault when the midfield isn't clicking. And it's not Val's fault when the defense has not been nearly good enough. These problems have all pre-existed the arrival of Val Ismail. In fact, they've pre-existed the arrival of Roy Hodgson. They have pre-existed the arrival of Javi Gracia. Watford's problems at home have pre-existed the arrival of Javi Gracia. That was one of the few seasons, along with the season with Ivic / Sisko, where the home form was very good. You may remember Marco Silva being at Watford, and Watford went a long stretch without winning any games, including a lot of the games at home, which led to the exit of Marco Silva. That was back in 2018. These problems have been here before. What the front office has to do, fellow Watford supporter, is get the balance right and start to spend in areas where it has not been spending. Whether it's defending, whether it's in midfield, I mean appreciable spending given the restraints and constraints on the Watford's budget. But Watford now, and I hope they're doing this in the front office, really need to take a full accounting of next season, because I think next season is going to be very important. I do think Watford are going to be better next season. And I'm saying that now with still 12 games to play of this present season. I do think that the Watford men's first team will start to play a lot better next season. I do think that Val Ismail will begin next season as the Watford manager. Of course, he has signed a contract that takes him into next season, and of course, contracts are made to be broken. But I do think that Val and the board have a very good relationship, and there's been no secret of that. And I think that helps him and helps his position here with the owner. Now, whatever else is going on in the background, the reports of, you know, negotiations around a stake in Watford and all the rest of it, an ownership stake, whatever else is going on is going to go on, whether it goes on, whether it doesn't go on, whatever it happens. But the structure of this first team will need to undergo some real change in the summer. And how much of a change will I think will determine how well this team does and how long Val Ismail ends up staying. But I don't see at the moment Val Ismail's job being under threat. I don't see that. I think even if Watford were to lose their next two home games, I still think that he would be a manager that finishes out the season. There's no question that pressure is an issue when you're talking about sports or anything in life, but when you're talking about sports and you're in the hot seat at Vicarage Road as the head coach of the men's first team here, that is a lot of pressure. And I think that the players right now are wilting under the pressure of these games at the Vic, where they have not won since November. Now, that is unacceptable to go that long without a home win in the championship. And certainly there's confidence issues. Certainly there are issues of belief. But one of the things that will never get fans on side with you is when you just don't perform well. You can have a lack of confidence but still play fairly well in some of these games. But when you have a lack of confidence and you're just not performing at all, and you are not putting in the appreciable shift, and you are lifeless on that pitch, there's something deeper going on. And the fans are not going to appreciate you. They're not going to cheer you when you're playing poorly. I don't care which fan base you're talking about, whether it's ours or someone else's. When you are playing poorly, you're going to get booed. So you have to give the fans something to cheer about. You've got to give the fans something to get behind. And yes, you'll have fans always cheering no matter what. Some fans, at least, might do that. But the vast majority of your fan base are not going to continue to cheer you when you're playing like a dog's dinner. It's just not going to happen. So a lot of this, to me, comes down to the players. The players have to be held accountable, and the manager ultimately does too. But for me, the players have to take a lot of the responsibility here. And I think Val Ismail does need to be a bit more imaginative when he comes and puts these formations together to start these games. Earlier in the season, I thought that what he was doing was working because I thought that he was carving out a very specific niche and a very specific identity. And I think he's still doing that, but the players are not buying into it anymore. I just don't see where the players are buying into it. There have been too many lackluster performances. But again, this is not a Val Ismail thing. This happened under the manager's last season and the previous season to that. So this has to be something that's got to be excavated from within the team. And the front office has to get very serious this summer and start to bring in players here who are going to be spark plugs for the Watford cause. Case in point, I just think of this match recently in the FA Cup that took place between Blackburn Rovers and Newcastle United. Blackburn Rovers were sitting 16th in the Championship. That is five places below where we presently are at the time I'm recording this. And Blackburn Rovers were playing Newcastle, the Premier League team, of course, Newcastle, who have not had the greatest of seasons. But both of these teams fought to the bitter end. Blackburn, the home side, in the Championship, in 16th place, gave Newcastle everything they could handle. And not just in the 90-odd minutes of play, but also in the 30-plus minutes of extra time and in the 15 or so minutes of penalties. Blackburn Rovers were magnificent in the game. Their goalkeeper was superb. And after all of that football, 2+ hours, nearly 3 hours of football, Newcastle finally prevailed with a penalty and then the save by the Newcastle goalkeeper, Martin Dubravka. And Dubravka was the hero for Newcastle from the penalty spot. But Blackburn Rovers were superb in the game. They fought like dogs. They fought and scraped and scrapped. Their goalkeeper was immense. That was a team that fought like the Dickens. They went down, and if they were going to go down in this match in the FA Cup, they were going to go down swinging. They were going to go down fighting. And that is what Blackburn Rovers did against Newcastle. That was a fight to the end, where Blackburn, the home side, let Newcastle know that they had been in a game. And Newcastle, as I said, were excellent as well. They played very well in the game at various moments. And it was an exciting game to watch. Blackburn's fight will be long remembered by neutrals like me when it comes to Blackburn, because obviously I'm a Watford Football Club supporter. But the reason I mentioned Blackburn's fight against Newcastle is because I want to see that same kind of fight with the Golden Boys. I want to see Watford Football Club's men's first team fight like the Dickens in these home games. Fight the way that Blackburn fought in their home match against Newcastle in that cup match. I want to see Watford put that kind of fight together and put that kind of determination together in their games at the Vic against opposition in the Championship or any match. I would absolutely settle for that kind of effort, that kind of fight that Blackburn put up. I would settle for that kind of fight for Watford, even if it meant that we were going to end up losing the game. If we had lost the game to Huddersfield the way that Blackburn lost their FA Cup match to Newcastle, I'd have no complaints whatsoever. No complaints about Watford. But we are losing these games at the Vic all too easily. We are losing these games without troubling these goalkeepers. We are losing these games without putting up a fight. We are losing these games without any passion or desire. And that goes way beyond Val Ishmael. Welcome back to this brand new edition of Yawns. I'm Omar Moore. I want to talk a bit more about some of the things around the players. Now, having said what I have just said in the last 20 minutes or so around Val Ishmael, I do want to say one other thing. When a manager loses the players, that is a sign of trouble. And when things are not going well, sometimes there is this idea that a full-blown crisis has happened. Some fans may say that. Some fans may have a different view about things around that. But whenever a manager loses a dressing room, whenever a manager loses not just one player, but an entire team, or even an entire squad, that manager's days are numbered in terms of his position or her position or their position at the helm of a football team. I don't think that Val is in that moment just now. What I would say, though, is that these final 12 games of this season are very important. How Watford finish out this season is very important. They're not making the playoffs. That's my view. That's been my view since early January when I was asked about this on Instagram during the Yawns Extra on Instagram Live at YawnsWFC on Insta. I do not think that this team's making the playoffs. They have too many teams to jump over. They are 11 points behind the last playoff spot now, which is occupied presently by Hull City. And Watford don't have too many of these teams above them to play again. So that's another factor that you'll be looking at. Hull City, they do play again. And they will be playing West Bromwich Albion again. And those teams are ensconced comfortably in the playoffs. But the point is that cohesion is going to be very critical now. And with Kone storming off the pitch or storming through the media suite or whatever he was doing, or taking a shortcut through this media suite and just going straight down the tunnel, whether it was he or Kayembe or both of them who did that in terms of getting off the pitch and going straight down the tunnel, it's not a good look. Now, as you might well know, there is a lot more dissension that goes on in and amongst teammates than we ever get to see as fans, as supporters. We don't get to see, much of it. We might occasionally see things on the pitch where we've seen this, of course, most recently with two Sheffield United players going at it on the pitch. We saw this famously years ago when two Newcastle players, Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer, were going at it, fighting each other on the pitch in a game that they were beaten 4-1 in at home to Aston Villa, if memory serves me correct. We've seen this happen in games where you actually do see teammates on the same team, two teammates fighting each other physically. It happens. It happens more often than we know, but we do see it every now and again. And it is rare to see, but it is there. And I don't know what's going on in the Watford men's dressing room when it comes to those kinds of things, but it's very clear that when you have the public display of discontent, not fighting amongst teammates, but just storming off the pitch, it's obviously because you're upset, but maybe it's because of something else. Who knows? I've also said that Val Ishmael has done a very good job at Watford. And while there are Watford supporters who presently will perhaps vehemently disagree with that view, never forget it was Val Ishmael who showed leadership when he took these players to account after that infamous game at Sunderland, where Watford were the dross of the century and ended up holding those players to account and keeping them in the dressing room for an hour plus, maybe an hour and a half, after that 2-0 defeat, which felt like 5-0, and challenged each and every one of those players to account for that performance, that pathetic performance that they had in that game. And since that moment, Watford woke up and went on that long run that they went on, played very well away from home, and continued to go very well until lately, where they have now regressed back to where they were, or very close to back to where they were at that game at Sunderland. So I don't think that Val Ishmael is the person where the blame should be heaped on. He should certainly have some kind of criticism. I don't think you can sit here, honestly, as a Watford supporter and not look at him and criticize some of the moves he's made or not made. I don't think that you can honestly do that. You have to be able to criticize the head coach, because there are things that he's done that have not worked out. But there's also a lot of things he's done that have generally worked. I think his angle on discipline is working and has been helpful. Certainly has helped Ben Hamer. Ben Hamer, who again, in a season that's going to probably end up being a mediocre but satisfying season, in the fact that Watford at least are going to finish in mid-table most likely. And that will be looked at as a satisfactory season, considering a lot of Watford supporters looked at this season as a relegation scrap or a battle to stay relevant. I think you've got to look at the fact that Ben Hamer comes out of this very well. He's still going to be your player of the season as far as I'm concerned. I think he was a very key factor to the run that Watford went on. And he brought some leadership to that position and some confidence to that goalkeeping position, where the previous person had not necessarily done that, having been sent off in a game earlier this season that effectively ended his captaincy. I think Val Ishmael has built a connection up with the fans. Yes, there's always going to be discontent. There are going to be a lot more fans now, obviously, who are unhappy with Val Ishmael because of the poor performances at home. And ultimately, when performances are poor, the whole team isn't going to get sacked. One manager will. But I don't think Val Ishmael is that manager, and I don't think that's going to come this season. There are going to be growing pains. There are going to be regressions. But I think above all, what fans want to see is progression and consistency. And while there has been some progression this season from Watford's men's first team, there has not been consistency. And so once that gets ironed out, I think we can begin to look at next season as the launch point for something better than what we have right now. But it would be an absolute folly to say goodbye to Val at this point, with 12 games left. And I think that what we need is an injection of life into a very lifeless first team. Emmanuel Dennis has done some of that, although he is not 100% fit. Obviously, he's got a groin problem, and that comes also from a lack of fitness as much as anything else. And you've got a very thin squad. Bio's been out for several weeks now with a hamstring injury. Rajovic has been non-existent in a lot of these games now. He hasn't scored in quite some time. And you've got a very lackluster front line, with the exception now of Asprilla. Martins has disappeared from lots of these games. Tom Ince has not really been an appreciable difference maker, and some would say I'm being very kind in that assessment. And for the most part, Watford's midfield, while at times the season has been very good, has not had enough bite to it in some of these games lately. That means that there need to be upgrades. And I do think that this team has taken you as far as it can take you, as far as Watford are concerned. One last thing I want to say is the word expectation. What you heard in the audio from Val Ishmael earlier on in this podcast episode was that this standard was far below what we expected from our players. Obviously, Val has an expectation for the players. Obviously, you And I, as Watford supporters, have an expectation from our players in the men's first team and our players in the women's team and our academy players who've got to the PDL Cup final, and congratulations to the academy under Tom Cleverley, getting these lads to that cup final, and best of luck to them. We have expectations of all the players who come through the doors at the Vic. But the question when it comes to this men's first team of players is this: what are their expectations from themselves? When they put on the gold and black, when they put on the yellow and black, to be more precise, what are the Watford men's first team players' expectations of themselves? What's the answer to that question? I think if Val Ishmael has not challenged these players repeatedly since the Sunderland game, he may have to pick some time before the game at Millwall to do so once again. Because it's time for these players to stand up and be counted. And these next 12 games, these final 12 games of the season, are all going to be, in my view, about auditioning for a Watford future. Do the players in this men's first team care about football at Vicarage Road? And do they care about putting in an effort at Vicarage Road? Do they care about fighting at Vicarage Road against teams like Huddersfield, against teams like Leicester, against teams like Queen's Park Rangers and Rotherham? Do they care enough to fight to the very end of the game? Or are they content to just pick up a weekly salary? I think ultimately that question still remains, and although the personnel has largely changed and there are some players who I would definitely bring back here, and obviously there are some who've signed longer-term contracts here, like a Georgie, who I think is a spark plug and is a good player and someone who can be a difference maker. The question becomes, how many of those kinds of players do we have? The commitment is there from Asprilla, but I think everybody knows or everybody expects that he will somehow depart from the Vic after the season's over during the summertime. Martins, who knows if he'll be brought back on loan again from Fluminense. And Emmanuel Dennis, what will his future be after this season is up with? Ken Semmer, who knows? He did not have a good game at all against Huddersfield. The worst game I've seen him play this season. And Ben Hamer, what will his future be? I think he is very likely going to be the player of the season. He'd be my pick right now. But I think there's going to be some major rebuilding in the summer of this team. And the goalkeeping issue has to be addressed as well. Because if Ben Hamer is not back, I don't think that Daniel Backman will be back at number one. I think he'll be fighting for a place. And signing a 5-year contract now for Daniel Backman is certainly something that I bet you some members of that front office at Watford are beginning to have second thoughts about. It's going to be a very fascinating and very interesting summer at Vicarage Road. And more so for the player personnel than for the manager. Expectations are everything. And the most important expectations are the players' expectations of themselves. It doesn't matter what we want in terms of where the players are concerned. I mean, it does matter. But what really counts for these players is their belief in themselves and the expectation of what they are looking for when they play football at Vicarage Road. Again, I want to reemphasize this. It does matter what the fans want. And if we're not getting value for our money, we have every right to say so and make that view heard loudly and clearly. And the players, I think, heard that very loudly last weekend after the Huddersfield defeat. It's up to Watford now and these men's first team players to bounce back against a Millwall side that too are struggling in the bottom five of the table. This will be the third consecutive game in the Championship that Watford have played against a team in the bottom five. This is a crucial game now against a Millwall side that Watford do not have success with in recent years. You have to go back, I believe, to the game back in 2021 where Watford last beat Millwall. And of course, that game was a very special game because Watford, in a Vicarage Road that was completely shut down due to COVID, defeated Millwall by a score of 1-0, a 12th-minute penalty or thereabouts from Ismail Sarr. Ismail Sarr, yeah, that name is a recent name. He scored the only goal of the match against a Millwall side that gave a really good account of themselves that day. And that was the only goal in Watford's win. And that win got them promotion to the Premier League. We are a long way from the Premier League now. But if the fans decide to be patient, if most of the fans decide to be patient, maybe in the next two or three seasons, we might just get back to the Premier League again. But between now and whenever then is, ultimately, this front office and this owner are going to have to get very serious this summer. I want to reiterate that yet again. This owner and this board are going to have to be very, very serious this summer. Because if they aren't serious this summer, I think that this club will continue to struggle through. And that is not something that the fans, at least some fans, are inclined to stay around for. This club is loved through thick and thin. And there are always going to be fans who will have a difference of opinion about Watford FC. And there'll be some fans who will give up and bail out. But I think the large majority of fans will definitely stand with this team, even if they're not liking what the owner is doing. I certainly can count myself in that group. But it is very important that this owner and this front office does everything it can to improve the caliber of player and the attitude of the players. And the team that they presently have will obviously undergo changes. And there will obviously be players who leave and there'll be players who stay. How much of a nucleus can Watford afford to give up in order to rebuild and push forward? That will be the question this summer. And these 12 games, these next 12, these final 12 games of the season will give us, I think, a preview of some of the answers. Don't forget to follow this podcast on numerous podcasting platforms on Apple and Spotify and Google. And of course, don't forget also to subscribe to the Yuan's WFC YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/@YuanzWFC. Yuan's WFC is the handle on YouTube. And of course, on X and on Instagram, @YuanzWFC is the address. That is all for this edition of Yuan's. Thank you very much, Watford supporter, for joining me. Don't forget, you can also, after these Watford matches on X and on Instagram, you can join me for the Yuan's post-match immediately after the final whistle on X at YuanzWFC and on Instagram about half an hour after the end of the match at YuanzWFC. We have Yuan's Extra on Instagram Live where we do quizzes and have some conversation. I read out your comments about what's going on with Watford and have a little bit of fun as well. That is all for now on this edition of Yuan's. I'm Omar Moore, and until next time after the game against Millwall,